This is the Sprint Users Podcast for Thursday, February 25th, 2010, Episode 1. Have a question or comment? Call the Sprint Users Podcast listener line. It's open 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can either leave your voicemail or send a text message to 260-SU-CHAT-1. That's 260-782-4281. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Sprint Users Podcast. This is Episode 1. My name is PDX77, also known as Mark in real life. And with me tonight, we got down in Texas, we got Matt, also known as Floormat. Hi, Matt.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
And over in the sunny Southern California, we got D. Lutcherman, also known as Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, what's up?
How much? How are you guys?
Pretty good.
All right, This is episode one. Woohoo! Just kind of give you a rundown what the podcast, what our ideas, what the podcast is. We're just going to basically come out with this podcast right now every 2 weeks, so every other Sunday or Monday. And we're just going to be a bunch of us just talking about Sprint, cell phones in general, and other carriers. This is also going to be in probably the only cell phone podcast where we're not going to be discussing the iPod or the iPhone. So
why would we want to?
Right, exactly. You know, so
everybody else has already done it for us.
Exactly. So, you know, we're going to be the Apple free zone here. So but yeah. Anybody want to join in?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just add, you know, we're going to kind of go through the forum and find topics that are popular and talk about them. And also, we will, you know, we'll keep track of the Sprint press releases, and you know, hopefully we'll be getting some more information. But there's some information later in the show which we'll talk about from Sprint.
And also, I want to add, we also have a voicemail box set up, so you can call us anytime, 24/7. Leave a voicemail or text message if you have any comments or questions regarding the show. We call that number is 260-782-4281. That is 260-782-4281. That translates to 260-SU-CHAT-1. So, starting out, you know, we need a theme song. That's our big thing right now. So, if anybody is willing to create a theme song for us, we are going to be giving away 1,000 SU dollars for the winner. And also credit in the show notes and also on the podcast itself. It has to be 30 seconds in length. Feel free to send me a private message on Sprint Users at PDX77 if you want more detailed information regarding that. So, you know, if any talented musicians out there, I suck. I can't, you know, I can barely play the piano.
I can't either.
So, count me out either.
There you go. You know, kind of want like a more of a fast beat type theme song, you know. So,
and you know, I'll throw an extra 1,000 SU in, so that'll give somebody a premium membership if they don't have it.
So, you know, 2,000 SU dollars
for the winner, whoever creates our theme song.
Cool. All right, so Matt, you're excited about that. We're just going to start off with the news stories. Big news story that WiMAX Sprint Clearwire is coming out with new markets this year, including Houston.
That's correct.
Minneapolis, Minneapolis, Kansas City, Denver, San Francisco, and Washington D.C.
It'll be nice to finally see some WiMAX on the West Coast over here. I think it's already in Portland, but I mean,
yeah,
you know,
Portland was one of the first markets, which I'm really jealous because I used to live in Portland and I really wish we had WiMAX here. I'm in Iowa now, and unfortunately where I'm at, I'm in an old IPCS affiliate market area, and the coverage here is just absolutely horrible. You know, thank God that Sprint bought us out, but still, the coverage here is just absolutely, it's just horrible. So I'm hoping that here in the Heartland, you know, we might be able to get some WiMAX. I'm not counting on it anytime soon. I mean, Kansas City makes sense because it's Sprint headquarters.
Yeah, definitely.
Suburban Kansas City. But Matt, you got it down in Houston. Have you had a chance to try it out yet?
No, I sure haven't. I've been meaning to visit one of our fine Sprint store locations around here to at least give a go at it. I'm not sure about the exact coverage. From looks at the coverage maps, it's pretty thick, at least especially in my area of town. Just like any kind of network expansion or any change in technology like we had when we had the 3G or Power Vision network, it's going to take some time to have it proliferate and have it cover extensively like the 3G network does now. But it'll be interesting to see. This is a leap. This is the first 4G wireless network in the nation. And it's Sprint seems to like to tote that, but now hopefully we'll be able to tote some more locations for people to actually give a go at it. But yeah, it seems like the technology, I mean, it's going to be pretty fast. It's actually going to probably be better than my DSL I have. More reliable, too, hopefully.
Well, if you don't mind me jumping in, sure. At CES, they had – Sprint was a actually pretty big there, and they had a whole little outside area, and they had the Overdrive. Really, really cool device. And on Saturday – well, let me put it this way. So the show started Thursday and Sunday. Thursday through Saturday, if you wanted to get on the internet with 3G or 4G, good luck. There was no 3G. It was gone.
Well, even like Engadget, I know, like everything they were doing over Sprint's 4G network.
Well, it was, you know, the network was severely just, it was, they were all just getting crushed. Yeah. But on Sunday, it got a little bit better, it cleared up. And on Sunday, I went back out to Sprint and did a speed test. And I got, I believe, between 4 and 5 megabit down. So,
that's not bad.
I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not my home cable connection, but yeah. I mean, that's better than the lowest DSL plan that's out there, which is, I think, usually like 1.5 meg.
Right, down. For like $30 a month or something.
For like $30 a month. Right. I mean, so the fact that you'll be able to do it with a portable device is really cool.
Well, let me clarify. That was the 4G network that you were testing it on?
Yes. In Vegas, wow. In Vegas, they had 4G up, and I did test it, and it was about 4 to 5 megs down, which is fine.
That's about what I get for my DSL, honestly. So
I wish I got yeah. that here, even just my cable. My cable here is just slow. I mean, we're only getting like 2 megabytes down for our cable, so that's even faster than our cable connection. I wish we had it here in Iowa. Like I said, I'm in a former IPCS market, which Sprint just bought out last December. But, you know, because even just on 3G, I only probably get about 500 down on average on 3G.
Yeah, it depends on your coverage, you know. But yeah,
and here it's horrible here.
I'm really stoked to see them finally really rolling this out, you know. It's great. And the plan starting at $60 isn't – you know, it's not very much more, or if it's the same. It's been so long since I've looked at their 3G, you know, data card plans.
I think right now it is actually the same.
I think it's the same. It's $59.99. Yeah.
And I don't think it's capped either, right? As like the 3G is capped to 5 gigabytes, right. But I don't think WiMAX is capped.
Right, the WiMAX is uncapped, which I don't know if they, you know, people say that they'll cut you off at 5, but I don't think it's ever really happened, but you know, with the 4G being unlimited, like true unlimited, that's very nice, you know.
And that brings up a good question about the capacity of the network once it does really expand to cover more areas, and eventually in the future, everybody has a device that is able to run on this network. I don't know. I know the theoretical numbers for WiMAX they were showing were fairly high, so it seems like you would be able to have a pretty strong download speed, like you were saying, at least for every device probably in the area. It's not like if there's a bunch of people on that it will start dragging down or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember seeing 10, 11 down, you know, but mm-hmm. obviously that's, I think, you know, the best possible situation,
Right.
You know, you're not going to see that all the time. Just like with 3G, they say, oh, you know, yeah, Rev A is up to, what, 3 megabit or something, but you never really see 3 megabit unless...
Real-world condition.
I think the highest I've ever seen a Rev A was up in Minneapolis. I was getting about 2.1 down. Now, I was tethering from my phone, so I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I thought that was pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, WiMAX is cool. I'm really excited, and hopefully the other markets that they'll announce, maybe they'll announce something down here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. But actually, at that price, $60, I guess that does kind of keep it a little exclusive in some respects. I mean, if it was like $20 left, if it was $40 a month or so, hey, I would probably definitely just go at it and maybe even forget about my DSL line. I mean, it's probably would be more than worth it.
Well, but, I mean, does it, at least in Portland, I know like Comcast in Portland, they have a deal of Clearwire where if you you get a discount, I'm trying to find the prices right now, but basically you get a discount off the 4G network if you're a Comcast cable subscriber.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And I know that Cox used to have a deal with Sprint where they would give you kind of a bundle deal, but I think they kind of killed that off. I haven't seen them advertise that for a couple of years now.
But yeah, I'm trying to find the price. I can't find it, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, basically, most people already have, well, you know, most people already have like high-speed internet at home. It'll be nice just to have something on the go.
Yeah.
Especially if you commute a lot. You know, I wish I had it because I travel everywhere. And I'm always wishing I had like a high-speed network because I always have my netbook computer with me at all times. So if I'm sitting there waiting for the bus or something, I could just get on the internet, you know.
Maybe the next step for that would be, you know, a lot of the netbooks, you can buy them with a 3G carrier, you know, with a card built in. You know, how cool would it be when we start getting some stuff like that where we get a nice 4G integrated modem in your netbook or in your laptop? I mean, that'll be cool.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be like the same kind of revolution that has happened to the from the landline service to the cell phone that many people go, they live without their landline service. They just use cell phone only. Now, live without your home DSL or cable connection. Have it wireless. Use it wherever you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's still not bad. Even though their basic rate, I mean, their basic rate is their basic home internet plan. Download speeds up to 1 megabyte and upload up to 500. That's $25 a month. That's not bad.
Slow.
That's slow, but it's not bad, though. I mean, comparing, that's just like DSL. But you can take it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Provide the other coverage, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, the Overdrive is a really, really cool device. They've also got, you know, like a router device that you just plug in the connection card to with USB. They got, you know, it's got Ethernet ports and everything. I mean, there's some real cool applications for it.
So they're really kind of pushing home usage, or at least maybe even multi-users, like several users in a coffee shop, or maybe.
Right, or like a mobile office kind of thing.
Right. Well, I wonder if we'll hear more about that at the CITA happening in the end of March, wireless show. I see a note that Dan Hesse, the CEO of Sprint, is supposed to be a keynote speaker.
Yeah, March. Yeah. I'll be on Wednesday, March 24th, Wednesday morning. Dan's going to be the keynote speaker. And so that'll be interesting. We'll do a show probably that evening.
We could always do a special show for that.
You know, because I'm going to assume he's going to announce some new devices, but you never know. So that'd be kind of cool.
We're starving right now.
Yeah, because what I'm looking forward to, and I think he might actually announce it at the CITA wireless show, is the new Supersonic.
Same here.
From HTC. That's going to be my next device. I mean, in theory, I mean, most of you probably already know what it is, but in theory, it's supposed to be the first 4G device from Sprint. It's going to be an Android-based device. What's a Snapdragon processor, which is 1 gigahertz.
Yeah, Snapdragon is...
it looks hot. you know, I have the Samsung moment right now. I love that phone, but, you know, it's, yeah, that's going to be my next device.
This is a whole other monster, so to speak.
Yeah. Right. And it's especially 1 gigahertz. I mean, that's, oh yeah, that's fast.
Well, it's the same as the Nexus One, so
right.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be blistering fast.
You know, the only thing is, you know, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm saying, I'm sure this is something that the CEO will definitely like to show off at this grand event where all the, you know, wireless industry meets together. And, you know, this is a good time for Sprint to really show that it has the guns, or it's prepared to launch some pretty heavy artillery.
Yeah, they don't have anything right now, really. Since the moment in Hero, I mean, they've been kind of dead in the water here for a bit. So they need to release some new stuff.
I mean, it's just seems like, I mean, I've had a smartphone from Sprint since the Apache, the 6700, the old Windows mobile device. And it seems like Sprint used to be kind of on the top as far as in the United States, as far as smartphones. You know, they've just been lacking in that area. You know, because Verizon, you know, Verizon has the Droid, which, you know, it's not a bad phone.
No, I've played with it. It's a nice phone.
You know, T-Mobile, they have, you know, the Nexus One.
And the G1. They got the G1 when it came out.
And the G1 as well. And Sprint just seems kind of lacking. Now, you know, granted, AT&T, they don't have any Android devices yet. I mean, they're going to get the that new Motorola phone. A slider thing, or the backflip.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on the name of that. It's been a while since I've seen it. But yeah, AT&T, I think they've been kind of trying to stick to the guns of, you know, we have the iPhone, so come get it. You know?
It's worked for them so far. So yeah, yeah. It makes sense.
Kills the network.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see some new cool phones coming out. You know, and hopefully they'll announce them. So
I'm excited. I mean, like I said, I had the Samsung moment, but truthfully, I'm already tired of it. You know, I mean, I love the device.
Sell it to me then.
Oh yeah, $400, no problem. You know, and I also just got a text message earlier today. There's a software update for the Samsung moment. The one that actually came out about a month ago now, where you had to go in the store and do it. Now you can actually do it over the internet. Just you can't do it over the phone, but you have to actually download it to your computer and plug in your phone.
It's kind of silly that they're doing that.
I don't get it. I mean, the Hero did their maintenance release over the air. So I think the way I understand it with Sprint and Samsung is just the way the bootloader is on the phone, that they had to override the bootloader because it wasn't designed for over-the-air updates or something like that. Which makes sense.
Well, I guess. I don't know. It just seems kind of silly because every other Android phone can do it, you know? So.
Right. I mean, if anybody, it's a CL14 update, so if anyone who has a Samsung moment, they haven't run the update, go ahead and run it. I'm telling you, it makes a huge difference on the device. It's almost like a different device, but the only thing is it'll reset. Basically, it does a hard reset, so you erase all your settings.
If you're syncing with Google,
this is the applications and stuff you'll have to redo. But or you could do the custom ROM, which I'm not going to talk about here. But you know, you could do that without resetting it. I just got a text earlier about it.
Well, hopefully something happens. You know, Sprint needs something right now because they really don't have that much going on. Other than, hey, look, our 4G network is finally growing. They need some more, you know, devices for it. And hopefully that means a phone, which will be real cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know, what Dan talks, you know, at the CTIA wireless show. You know, I'm hoping he's going to release some new, or announce some new devices. It would seem silly that he's going to be the keynote speaker. And he's not going to talk about anything. I'm going to guess. I mean, because didn't they already say that they're going to release a bunch of phones later this year for the WiMAX for 4G?
Well, I think it's they said, but you didn't hear it from me said, you know? So.
Right.
We'll see. I'm sure that, you know, it's probably the biggest wireless show, you know, for Sprint. So I'm hoping something happens, because CES was kind of a dud. All they had was that little ebook reader.
They don't really ever announce really a phone to CES, though, do they ever?
Or not? No, they had the Overdrive and they had the e-reader, but that was it.
I mean, I guess really. Last year was Palm's big announcement about WebOS.
You know, like, right.
That kind of took the show. Speaking of the WebOS, has any of you ever played around with a WebOS before? I personally haven't, but
I got to play with it a little bit because Jeff, also Dragon Man on the forum, he at CES he had a pre, and it seems like a great phone, you know. But you know, to each his own. I mean, I really would like to get an Android phone.
Go ahead.
Oh, I say plus now WebOS is not exclusive to Sprint anymore since Verizon is gone.
Right.
They have gone their full advertising power now, showing that, hey, we have this and it does these things now.
Which is like actually good, you know, for the Sprint users who have the WebOS device, either the Pixie or the Pre. You know, hopefully as it's, you know, expanding to different carriers like Verizon, AT&T, that more developers will get on board.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously you have a larger target audience.
Right. That's hopefully the idea.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see some more Android-powered devices or even WebOS devices out of the blue. Who knows? Coming up. Like,
yeah.
We had a note of the Hero 2, another Hero, to be a sequel to the first Android phone on Sprint.
Yeah, I was just reading about that. Boy Genius report, they're reporting that the HTC Legend is also known as the Hero 2, and the Hero 2 is the CDMA counterpart to the Legend, and that's going to be coming to Sprint. But I haven't really seen much about it. Have you guys? I haven't.
No, not really. I mean, for me, I've got to have a keyboard, and you know, if it's gonna be, you know, the Legend clone, I guess it's not gonna have one, and that's a real problem for me. I unfortunately really need a hardware keyboard. I hate the on-screen keyboard, software keyboard.
I actually you need to know me because I'm in the chat room a lot, and I'm actually on the fence. You know, I hate virtual keyboards. You know, I need to have a physical keyboard, but I'm actually at the point now where the virtual keyboards are getting so much better that, you know, I know I said earlier I'm not going to talk about it, but, you know, I just got an iPod Touch. Obviously, that has no physical keyboard. That thing is so easy to type on.
Well, I think part of that is because they have such a large screen on it.
Right, and yeah, that's part of it.
The Touch Pro that I have, I put the, you know, the Android bootloader on it, and just so I can play with Android on it. And the problem is there's just not enough screen real estate. If we're talking about the Hero, you know, the screen is significantly larger. The phone is all screen. And so I think actually a virtual keyboard on one of those, I would be a little bit more, you know, on the fence. But
that's why
I just love hardware keyboards. Sorry.
Because that's why I look at the Supersonic. You know, that's not going to be coming with a keyboard. Right. And I can't remember what the size screen that is coming with, but
it's at least like 4 inches.
3.2 inches, I think. No, it's much larger than that.
Closer to 4. I mean, it's 4 something.
But, I mean, something like that is going to be great. And HTC does a great job on the virtual keyboard. I mean, I played around on the Hero, and I thought on the Hero was great. I mean, just, you know, it takes a while to get used to it, of course.
Yeah. It does take getting used to. Like, I would, every so often, I would try the virtual keyboard, and every time I would try it, it would just anger me when I would mistype, and then it would try to predict, and you know, I just got really fed up with it, so I would switch back to the hardware keyboard because it's just easier, you know.
I think that's probably the main reason that a lot of people shun away from that is because of the learning curve that's involved. You know, the loss of tactile feedback when you're trying to type on the screen. You know, you're not sure where everything is. The actual size of the keys on the screen too, that's part of it.
Yeah.
And like you said, the prediction does take some time to learn your
typing. You know, it does vibrate, you know, or makes a clicking noise. Well, like
sometimes.
Like on my Moment, you know, the virtual keyboard there, I'm just using the Google's built-in one, but I mean that thing vibrates or clicks, so you could tell. I mean, you don't have the physical feedback, but it's the vibrate, actually, it's, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah, see, with a physical keyboard, you can feel the buttons.
Yeah.
And know where you are. And with a virtual keyboard, you can't. And I have, you know, big clumsy thumbs. And sometimes it's just virtual keyboards just are not good for me. So, I don't know. That's the one problem I see. Is I personally, I need a physical keyboard.
I think that's kind of evident in some of these messaging phones now. That's a pretty significant stock of the rest of Sprint's phones, the non-smart device, non-Android powered or WebOS or Windows Mobile, things like that. There's plenty that are all keyboard that you can slide out or flip out or whatever. Probably some more of those coming out. I'm not sure.
Well, hopefully in March we'll find out.
That's very true.
Yeah, I mean, that's only a month away. And also in March, too, hopefully, you know, Sprint just came out with an update for us Moment owners and the Hero about the Android 2.1 is coming out. Originally, they said it was going to be coming out first half of 2010, which, you know, it could be any time between now and, what, June 1st. So now they came out with another tweet on Twitter that's coming out the third quarter. First part of third quarter, which would be, what, probably March or April at the earliest?
Wait, I thought you said it's, I thought it's coming out in first quarter.
No, not first quarter, but no, second or third, beginning in third quarter. Oh no,
third
second
quarter, well, second quarter.
Second quarter.
Confused. That would be like April, May.
Right. Which I'm excited
pushing
about.
Pushing it back, but I mean, that's the one thing that's really keeping me from the Moment is it's not 2.1 yet, and there's just some things missing. I mean, it's not like a, you know, the most important thing in the world, but having the Google Nav that you can talk to and, you know, all that stuff, it would be really cool to have.
See, that's the only gripe I have, really. It's just right now, I mean, yeah, I'm running 1.5 Cupcake, which everybody else is who has a Moment, or the Hero for that matter. It's just all these new cool applications that are coming out for Android. And there's a lot of neat applications coming out for Android, but the problem is they're all written for like 2.0 or above.
Right.
And, like, you know, Google Earth, Google just announced that, you know, that's available in the marketplace. You know, we can't have that. You know,
yeah.
The new Google Maps that has layers built into it that syncs with your desktop computers on your Google Maps there. You know, that's for, I think, 1.6 or above.
They're really dropping the ball on that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's partly Google's fault, too, because, I mean, really, they're releasing it seems like they're releasing I mean, it's awesome that they're releasing updates. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But it just seems like they're releasing them so fast that, you know, 1.5 didn't come out that long ago. Then all of a sudden it's like, okay, 1.5 has only been out for a few months. Okay, well, we'll just throw that away. Now we got 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody has 1.5. You know, well, I'm sorry, you're, you know, and I don't really blame the developers, you know, for moving on with the, you know, the next platform. But it just, I don't know. It annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they'll be on their ball with that, and hopefully it will come out in the first half. What did they say? The first part of second quarter. So
yeah. So my guess is going to be middle of March. I'm going to make a prediction: March 15th.
Well, you know, they also could announce it at CTIA.
That
so,
is true.
You know,
I don't think
middle of March. I would, because first quarter is the first 3 months, so I would say they would announce it end of March to be available in maybe April, you know? You know how Sprint is with these updates. They always announce the update, hey, we're going to do an update, and then it's like another, like, you know, half a month. So
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad. I mean, they never really used to do that. I mean, I'm glad they're actually at least giving some kind of estimate, you know, timeline, you know, because at least on this one, because like I said, they originally announced it was to be first half of 2010. That's a pretty broad statement.
Yeah,
you know, and now they're at least narrowing it down. So it's like, you know, I give them credit for not at least they're now announcing the date, which would be dumb if they actually announced the actual date, because they don't know when it's coming out.
They don't know,
they're testing
it. Yeah.
So like a 3 month time. I know a lot of people hate that, but at least you have a better idea, you know, when it's actually coming out.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, moving on. You know, speaking of, I know we've just been talking about smartphones, but the LG rumor Touch. Supposedly,
yes,
it's coming out March 14th,
which is I guess it's good because I don't think Sprint really has much of a touchscreen dumb phone, you know, with a keyboard.
No.
So I actually think this is.
I don't think they have any, do they? This is the first one.
I mean, it'll be $79.99 after the $50 mail-in rebate. You know, and so it's not expensive. It's not too expensive. And it's got a keyboard. So everybody who text messages like crazy, that's great for them. And it's touchscreen, which actually I think is pretty cool. So, yeah. I mean, it's and it has EVDO.
Wow.
Unlike the original one, which for some reason didn't have
it. Oh, that's right. So, I forgot the original rumor didn't have EVDO.
Yeah, who knows what they're thinking. But, yeah.
Don't get
so,
that.
I mean, this is actually a pretty cool dumb phone for Sprint, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to sell. You know, I mean, I've been so glued down on smartphones. Forget about the dumb phones.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is perfect. If it was, you know, somebody who wants to tag, like a teenager who just texts a lot, or
exactly. Teenager,
but you know, I mean, the keyboard. I mean, I'm just looking at the picture right now. The keyboard doesn't look too bad.
No, it looks actually not bad at all. It looks like they did not mess with it. And they gave the space bar and other stuff its own row. So that's actually, I like that. I hate when the carriers start messing with the keyboard. So I might actually have to go play with this one.
Speaking of keyboards, I'll admit, like, probably the best keyboard I've ever seen on any kind of device is the Touch Pro 2.
Oh, yeah.
I love that thing. I wish this would be my perfect phone. Okay, the Touch Pro 2 keyboard. On like the Nexus One's hardware.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I mean, that would be like the most with a tilt screen.
Yeah,
that would be like the perfect phone. I mean, it would be the best of both worlds. I mean, the Touch Pro 2 is, yeah, I love the keyboard, but it's the same as far as the guts. It's the same guts as the Touch Pro.
Yeah,
same processor and memory, everything. It's just the keyboard's different. Obviously, larger screen, and it flips.
Yeah, that's what I always said. When the Nexus One came out, I said, well, wait, there's no keyboard? Where's the keyboard, you know? I guess, you know, what I want is I want a G2 of sorts, or, a G1 that has the Nexus One hardware in it. So, I don't know. I guess I'll be wishing for that.
Can't get everything that you want. That's what you find out. Everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, any of you guys been following the Windows Mobile 7, or I'm sorry, the Windows Phone 7 series, the announcements that,
a little bit.
That Microsoft made?
I saw what it looks like, and I'm not really that impressed.
And supposedly it's supposed to be all new, brand new built, everything from scratch.
Honestly, I don't think it's ready yet, because, I mean, obviously it's not coming out till the end of the year. But I don't know if any of you have seen the in-depth interviews and the videos where they went more in-depth, but they don't show you much. You know?
that's typical Microsoft.
Right. But, I mean, like the Xbox, you know, gaming area, none of that they show. They showed, like, the photo app and the, Facebook, which looks nice. But that's about all they show. But so I'm just thinking, like, it's more, you know, they've kind of plastered this together, and it doesn't really function. You know, it's more of a just a pretty face. You know.
So basically, it's like every other Windows operating system.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that. But
where you have standard Windows Mobile 6, and then you have to throw TouchFlow on top of it. You know, I mean, it sounds like they just built their own TouchFlow this time.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. You know? I mean, that's not until the end of December, but you know, but the problem I have is with Microsoft. I mean, one thing I loved about Windows Mobile, and I used to be a Windows Mobile owner. Was the openness of the operating system. You can easily hack it. You can put any interface on top of it, like TouchFlow, like HTC Sense UI has been imported to that.
The hacking on Windows Mobile is good.
It was awesome. Because
it is so open.
You know, and I can understand Microsoft's viewpoint on this, you know, but Microsoft's like turning into Apple, where what the Windows Phone 7... It's going to be locked down. The only applications you'll be able to install legally is through the marketplace.
Yeah.
And, you're not allowed to touch the, you know, the actual, you know, the interface, you know, the any of the OS, which, I mean, I understand their viewpoint because they want everybody to have the same experience. But it's like, they're kind of turning, I mean, that's why everybody loved Microsoft, at least in my opinion, why a lot of people love Windows, and they're kind of turning away from that.
Well, I think, I can't remember what it was that I was watching, or, you know, basically here's how it works is, us as tech people, we understand, oh, you know, we have all these processes running, and well, that's why my phones are running slow and chewing through battery. But, you know, the standard person on the street, or, you know, they're not going to understand, well, why can't I run all these applications and still have battery life and all and have it run fast? So I think they're trying to, you know, pull the Apple here, and they're trying to make it simpler so that you get better battery life and everything works a little bit better. Which, you know, at the cost of usability, maybe.
I just think it's dumb. I'm sorry. You know,
I do too. I do too. I think just, that,
you know, I mean, one of the nice things about having a smartphone or, you know, type device is people like me, I love running more than one app at the same time. You know, I'm in IRC and, you know, in chat, I could chat from my phone. Now I could leave that in the background if I want to go, okay, ooh, I'm going to need to go check my text messages real quick, or need to update something on Facebook, or check out this link on a web page. So
exactly.
On Android, it's easy. You know, I can just, you know, just switch over to my browser and just go back to the IRC app. You know, I don't understand the whole one app at a time. I mean, I understand, like, oh, it is better for the resources and the battery life. But this, for me, that defeats the entire purpose of having a smartphone.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's one thing I hate about the iPhones, because of that.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about Windows Mobile, we might as well talk about what Skype did today or yesterday, whatever.
Yeah, I just saw that.
They have apparently decided that they don't want to talk about Windows Mobile anymore, and now it was kind of a vague, we don't think you're getting the full experience like the iPhone, and then they removed it, but they never really said we're also working on something. They haven't said anything, really. It's been kind of a big non-answer, you know, and I'm really disappointed if they do end up not doing anything more for a while. I mean, you could still grab Skype from their website if you have the link, and we'll put that in the show notes. So it'll be version 3, but, you know, I use it on my Touch Pro. Just yesterday, you know, I grabbed my Bluetooth headset, went out for a walk, and had a Skype conversation.
Yeah, and it sounded good.
And it sounds great.
Yeah, right.
And, I mean, I'm really sad that they're, well, removing it from their site. We don't know what they're doing, unfortunately.
Could this have something to do with that announcement? I guess it was from Verizon.
I don't know. I mean, because it's, I mean, Verizon has Windows Mobile devices. Now, see, that'd be interesting if Verizon, with that new announcement, if they leave it on their Windows Mobile devices.
See, that's the thing. Maybe it's starting to be restricted to Verizon somehow, right? Some deal that we are unaware of.
I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
Well, that's silly, though. Yeah. That's really stupid of them to do.
Because that's less people using their product. I mean, that's just...
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows with Skype? I mean, you could always use Fring. I don't know if you ever mess around with that.
No, I think I'm going to... I might try it, you know, and I can report back in 2 weeks or so. I might as well try it, because apparently Skype isn't going to be supporting Windows Mobile. Although... The 3.0, it does work, you know. It works fine, so I really see no reason to change.
Yeah, I don't get it. See, okay, that brings a question, though. I mean, is Windows Mobile dead? Do you think? I mean, do you think it's a dying platform?
Well, with Windows, what are they calling it? Phone 7?
Windows, yeah, the phone series or something.
Whatever they're calling it. Maybe... You know, standard Windows Mobile is dead as we know it now, and they're trying to go more of the way of the iPhone. Maybe they're trying to be more like Apple, because every time they do that, they do well.
That's just like with Palm. I mean, Palm came out of, well, kind of out of the blue with their webOS, and they've revamped themselves right back into the whole running. They were the ones who really created the kind of personal digital assistant. and
yep, you know, they're
back in there again. And Windows Mobile seems to be the one that was left out in the dark with a pretty archaic kind of system compared to these other ones on the market. So that's
maybe they're trying to redo themselves.
We can only hope.
Because of Microsoft Windows Mobile, they always had awesome developer support. You know, they always were almost number one as far as developer support. And lately, it just seems like all these awesome applications and developers are leaving them. So I'm wondering, you know, when 7 comes out, if that's going to be too little too late. Because, I mean, we've been hearing 7, what, for the last 2-3 years now?
Yeah,
you know? And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if it was delayed again. I mean, I hope not. For Microsoft, because if it got delayed again, that would just destroy Windows Mobile. But I'm wondering if the developers are going to be rushing back and start developing for that platform again.
Well, that's you remember when the pre and the pix or the, when the pre came out, there were what 30 applications in the App Store because Palm did such a horrible job. If Microsoft wants to make Windows Phone 7 or whatever they're calling it, if they want to make it a success. They need to make sure to help the developers out. I mean, I have written an app for Windows Mobile, and you know their development stuff is pretty good. But if they leave us all out in the dark, it's gonna be just like the pre when it first launched, and there's gonna be no apps, and nobody's gonna want to buy it. You know, because that's the whole new thing now is app stores. That's the big thing on smartphones.
Yeah,
and not even smartphones on everything.
Yeah, and that's something Microsoft. They're smart. You know, they finally jumped in on the whole application store. That's something that they never had before. You know, and as a developer, I mean, I'm sure it's probably cheaper in the long run is to join the application store and do the revenue cost versus signing up with another. Distributor.
Having an app store really helps the developers, I think. So we'll see what they come out with.
And as far as that, they're coming out with some nice things for their application, for the app store. What is it, like Windows Marketplace or however what they call it?
Right. I've seen that on Windows 6.5 they have at least now. I've never looked into it to see
It's on 6 as well, but I mean, they just came off an update the other day where you can now install applications to your storage device, which is pretty cool. And that's something Android doesn't even support at this point. I mean, eventually.
You have to hack that, right?
Yeah, you have to root your phone and install some hacks, and you can do that, but it doesn't not out of the box. But Google said there's some security issues there, but rumor has it in the next update or something like. What are we at? 2.3 or 3?
I think it's 2. Yeah, 2.1 is the most recent. So 2.2 or 2.3.
Yeah, whatever. You know, and there's hopefully that might allow it. Because I personally, I don't store applications on my storage device. But
yeah, I don't do it either. I have enough space.
Right. I mean, I don't install like 100 apps either. You know.
Yeah.
I have my basic apps. I have like probably I only have maybe like 10 apps at the most installed. You know, and that's all I need.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, while we're on the topic of apps, Sprint and GitJar, I guess, are signing some sort of agreement here, which is kind of an interesting thing because, you know, all the carriers, they always tried to sell apps themselves to make money. And so them... You know, joining together. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that works. I mean, I guess it's gonna be for most of the dumb phones, but I don't know if they're trying to get away from the Digital Lounge, I guess, what they have where you can buy the apps and,
right.
and whatnot. I don't know. It's kind of a different step for them. I think
it's interesting. It's You know, I mean, it's also for Windows Mobile and Blackberries because they both run Java. But
right. Well, you don't run that much Java on Windows Mobile unless you're crazy.
Right.
it just doesn't run very well. But on Blackberry, obviously. I don't know.
I think it's an interesting announcement.
Maybe Sprint saw, hey, you know, our App Store kind of sucks. all these other apps are on this site, you know? I mean, because GetJar has a lot of apps. They have everything. And that's one thing Sprint doesn't have. Sprint does not have very much. So maybe they kind of realize the need, even.
Yeah, so if you have it, I mean, this should be available now as a link. So if you go to m.getjar, so m.getjar.com from your mobile browser, you should be able to have access to that. It's actually pretty cool. And that's, I'll be honest, when I first signed up with Sprint, that was one of the reasons why I signed up with Sprint versus Verizon, is because of the Java application. Because there's a lot of really good Java apps available for mobile devices. Opera Mini is a great example of that. And that's something that...
Yeah, I remember downloading that when I had my, you know, A900 or my M610. Right. I remember using Sprint's App Store, which was actually one of the better ones at the time.
And that's what brought me to Sprint, because there was a lot of good apps, and there still is, you know. And Verizon was stuck on Brew, which... With Brew, they basically could tell, you know, they could limit, you know, what could be developed for the phone, and, you know, Java's open.
Yeah.
You know, Sprint really had no control over that. I know, it's a smart move. You know, I'm kind of, you know.
Matt, do you have any thoughts?
I'm kind of quiet, Matt. Wake up. I know it's late in Texas.
Wow, I'm awake now. No, it makes you wonder that why can't some of these quote unquote dumb phones actually become more smart, you know, if they can actually work on creating systems to allow more than one Java application to run. Of course, yeah, that does kind of play on some experience issues, like how is it going to slow the phone down? But that would be interesting to see that, you know, hey, you can have a dumb phone competing with these smartphones. Actually, I wouldn't mind going back to a dumb phone, at least for what I do with my phone.
I couldn't. There's no way. I'm, you know, once I've gone to a touchscreen device, I just, with an actual, like, smartphone, I could not go back. There's no way.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm getting used to the bulk. You know, obviously, those phones are heavier than, you know, your regular cell phones, but I'm just so used to being able to do so much on it, and, you know, yeah, battery life's horrible, but, you know, I live with it.
Yeah. Once you go to a smartphone, it's really hard to go back. I swapped to my M610, and, you know, after not having a touchscreen for a few days, I had to switch back. I couldn't take it.
You started touching the screen and everything.
Yeah, like, I started touching the screen.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird because I was like playing around with my Sanyo 8400. You know, I just want to like tap on it, and it's like, oh, I can't tap. You know.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah. You get used to it.
But anyways, so phone predictions. What do you guys? What do you think next phone, Matt? What do you think your next phone's gonna be?
That'd be a good question, because
that's a running gag we have with Matt, because Matt's still stuck on the HTC Touch.
The original Touch.
Yeah. He won't get rid of it. So we're placing bets on when Matt's gonna be updating his phone.
Never. Yeah, that's when.
Now, I tried as immediately after the Samsung moment came out, I tried to get one, but I am one of those people who are stuck in a very old plan that is just too good to get rid of, that you would be crazy to go get rid of that plan for another phone.
I was on Serial, you know, and I got rid of it, and I got the everything plan just so I get the Samsung moment. I don't look back. I like Android. You know, and I just, yeah, I mean, I'm wasting money. But the way I look at it is, I'm going to be upgrading eventually. Because no matter what, and I'm thinking it's going to be the same thing once Windows Mobile or Windows Phone 7 comes out for Sprint, that they're going to be requiring an actual data, like an actual, the new data plan package.
Yeah.
With that.
Well, and with the everything data plan, you get premier status, right? So every year you get to upgrade, which actually isn't a bad deal at all. When you think about it.
And, you know, on the forums, you know, everybody's complaining, you know, oh, I don't want to get rid of my serial plan, or Sprint's ripping us off. But if you look at it, you know, the newer devices that are coming out, you know, everything's in the cloud these days. Android especially, everything's in the cloud. The new Windows phone's going to be in the cloud. That's using a lot of data.
Yep.
And it's costing, and I, you know, you may sound like I'm a Sprint fanboy, but like I'm sticking to Sprint, but realistically, you know, that's costing Sprint a lot of money to be able to upgrade their infrastructure to keep up with the demand.
That's true.
And if everybody has like $30 plans, they're not making money off you.
Yeah. I mean, with the new phones, I guess Verizon makes basically tax on a $29.99 data plan.
Right.
So, I mean, it's either you get to, when you think about it, let's say, oh, I've got this really, really cheap $30 or $40 free and clear or fair and clear, whatever it was, fair and clear.
Free and clear.
Free and clear? I don't remember.
Free and clear, fair and flexible. That's the other
fair and flexible. That's what it was. So, you know, people have these $30, $40 plans, you know, and let's say, just like Verizon, if Sprint was to do the same thing, you're right back up at where everything data is. So I can see where people are kind of annoyed at the fact that they do have to give up, you know, what could be a real good plan. But if you look at all the other carriers, you know, AT&T does it with the iPhone.
Right.
Verizon's doing it with all the Pre-Plus and with all the droids and all everything on that end.
Right. Everybody's doing the same thing.
And when it comes down to it, everybody's plans end up between, I think, $70 and $80 for a basic around 450-minute plan with data, maybe some text thrown in there. But what's great about Sprint is, you know, they've got – it's 450 minutes, and then you get to nights and weekends at 7, and then you get any mobile.
Right.
Which that's – you know,
A good majority of my calls are to another cell phone. I very rarely do ever call a landline, and you know, only use maybe at most 100 minutes at the most, anytime minutes.
So it's true. We could go down to a lower level plan and take advantage of these new kind of plan features that kind of they really help out. So.
I mean, with the new everything data plan, you get everything, text, data. Picks. Right. I think you get nav, right?
You get nav. Yeah, nav's part of it. The Sprint TV.
You get everything, and so when it comes down to it, it's really not that bad of a deal.
No.
You know.
No, I mean, I'm on the lowest plan you can get with a data package, which is like what, $70 a month, and I get a corporate discount with my job, but still, I mean, I'm. You know, realistically looking at compared to other carriers, that's not a bad deal for what I'm getting.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Matt, you want Android, so you think you might actually upgrade?
I don't know. If I don't, the one phone that I probably is appealing is the Samsung Intrepid. It's one people don't talk about much, but it's a pretty nice phone. I've always wanted a Samsung kind of smartphone because I like Samsung. And it has a touchscreen, and it has a keyboard, and it has a portrait-style keyboard, which is actually the only kind of hardware keyboard that I've really found usable by me, as opposed to the wide landscape ones of the touch.
Yeah, actually, it might be easier to text on with one hand.
Right. And plus, it also has GSM. In case I happen to go out of the country again, I would be set right there. And it also has Wi-Fi built into it. So it has everything for a Windows Mobile-powered phone. It has 6.5 on it currently. Maybe it can be upgraded to 7.0 in the future. Who knows? Nah. It might be doubtful.
Yeah.
It is the only 6.5 phone that is on Sprint right now. So it,
right. You know,
but it's pretty nice.
I can't even believe like even the Touch Pro like 2. I can't believe that it hasn't been updated to 6.5.
It's pretty nice. I like Internet Explorer on 6.5. It is totally different from what it was before.
Well, aren't there...
two plays right in the browser. The zooming effects, the scrolling effects are all like amazing.
Aren't there rumors that the Touch Pro 2 is getting 6.5?
Well, yeah, they've been saying it since they've released it. I mean,
good point.
You know, see, that's the thing. You know, everybody's complaining about, and I read a lot about the Samsung moment. Everybody's complaining is like, oh, Samsung's horrible because they never update their phones. HTC is awesome because they update all the time. But I'm thinking like for Sprint, HTC and Sprint really don't update that often. I mean, Touch Pro 2, great example, or 6.5. You know, yeah, they do maintenance releases, but as far as actual OS updates, you know, and 6.5 has been out. I mean, I was running that on my Touch Pro, granted it's a hacked version of it, but I was running it, you know, a year ago on my Touch Pro.
Yeah. Well, there's always the ROM scene, so...
Yeah. You know. It's... Yeah, which is awesome. I kind of miss that. I miss having the whole ROM scene, so... But, you know, as for you listeners out there, you know, feel free to leave us a voicemail if you want, if you have any comments or questions regarding the show.
Remind them of the phone number.
Yeah, so it's 260-SU-CHAT-1. So 260-782-4281 is our phone number. You could either send a voicemail or leave a voicemail, or you can send a text, and we'll respond to your comments or questions on the future episode. You know, if you agree with us, you disagree with us, you know, also we're just looking for general guidelines, what you want to see in the podcast, what should we talk about, you know, we're open for ideas. We're new at this. This is our first episode, so we're always going to be improving every time we do this. Dan, Matt, you guys have anything to share before we let you go?
No.
Not really. We've let out a lot of content, and I think there's a lot to look forward to in March, especially with the CTIA.
Yeah, I think March is going to be really exciting.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah. You know, like I said, we're going to try to do a special show probably that Wednesday night, just depending on if Dan Hesse mentions, does any product announcements. So. But in the meantime, we're going to be trying to do this every other week, so hopefully every other Sunday.
Yeah.
We will we'll update. And we're also going to eventually, not now, but we're eventually going to be in iTunes and also in the other typical podcast directories as well. So,
well, what we'll do is, right now it's going to be hosted on my website, my personal site. I will set up an RSS feed for this, though, so you will be able to add it in iTunes very easily. And that will be, you know, in the show notes.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks, Dan, and thanks, Matt, for joining us tonight. And but you know, just join us in a couple weeks and we'll have another podcast for you. And this has been the episode 1 of the Sprint Users Podcast.